song that we just sang said, show His love. It is one thing for us this morning to tell of His love. It's one thing for us to profess of His love. And it is something else to show His love. To show the love of God does not usually take words. It takes action. It takes us doing something. It takes more than just a profession or a desire for something. To show someone love means that they can see it, they can observe it. It's more than just hearing someone say it or profess it or to be sitting on the couch saying, I love you, but to get up and show that love by deeds of kindness. The message this morning is, it's really, in its simplicity, is a reminder to us. It's nothing new. It's just the Lord had put on my heart to share, and it is just, I'll just put it simply, it's a reminder that the Lord wants us to be a people of good works. As Sister Rhonda aptly pointed out, we are not saved by our works. We are not justified by our works. But we will find in the Scripture, and we will read, that if we do not have good works, we really do not have faith in God. Because true faith in God will bring forth fruit of good works. Over in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, I'd like to point out a sister in the Lord that had a reputation. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, it said, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in these days that she was sick and she died. Now, this woman, she was known for her good works. And she was full of good works. In other words, it wasn't just that every once in a while she did something good, but she was full of good works. And her alms deeds. And we find that when Peter and some of the saints came in, as many times happen when someone passes away, they came in and Peter came and they came around him, and it said all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. You take note who was weeping? It was the widows. It was those that had need, because even in the early morning church, and it's not the essence of the burden this morning, but the widows that were to be supported were widows that did not have family. If a widow had family, it was the family's responsibility to take care of the widow. It was the widows that were widows indeed, as the Scripture put it. They didn't have family to be able to help support them and take care of them. And here is a group of widows around Dorcas's deathbed, as it were, and they were saying, oh, Dorcas made me this. And someone else, another widow, was crying and said, oh, look what she made for me. And they just went around telling her good deeds. I was in a funeral this week of someone, of Sister Jean Flynn, and she was a sister, she was 82 years old, and she was full of good works. When we were pastoring in Shawnee, she was really a right-hand support in the congregation. She was faithful to be at service. She was on time. She was there to clean. She was there to work. She took care of the bookkeeping. She took care of, and it wasn't just in service, many elderly people in the congregation, and she was doing good deeds for them. She was running errands. She was being sure they were taken care of. It was all through the week. She was full of good deeds. Do you know the Scripture says that those that die in the Lord, that their works would, what? You remember what it said? It said their works would follow them. And that's what was happening here with Dorcas. It was like, you know what she did for me? That she made this for me. Or, you know what? She always took me to town. She always bought my groceries. Or I was sick and she was the one that came to visit me. Or I had a need and she was the one, she prayed for me. Those are good works. things that you could say. They weren't just someone that said, I'm saved and I love you, but it was someone that showed their love by with their hands and with their feet. And Dorcas was an example of that. Now, we read also about the saints in Macedonia in the 15th chapter of Romans, in the 25th verse. The saints in Macedonia, they made certain contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, we also find that according to, I believe it was Paul's or Peter, instruction, they took up an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. How they took up the offering, it doesn't say. But he said, lay up in store for the first day of the week. We're going to take a collection. There is a need, the saints, there are some poor folks over here that are worshiping God, and we like to let the need be known. It wasn't for one person, it wasn't Peter or Paul in these situations trying to get money, but they knew of the need, and so they were letting the need be known, saying, folks, we're going to send an offering to the poor saints at Jerusalem. It is recorded by some of the historians, and not a lot is talked about this sometimes, but some historians believe that one of the reasons that Christianity spread so quickly was because of this very thing. Because those that followed Jesus were people of good works. And that was not the common thinking when at the time of Christ. You look after yourself. Look after your own. But when Jesus began to teach, people began to be taught that, you know what, this is community. If someone's in need, we need to step up to the plate and help them. It's kind of like some of the Amish communities used to be, and I think some of them still are. If someone needs a barn, hey, we're going to set aside a weekend. Let's come together and we're going to raise that barn. There was a sense of community and togetherness and oneness. Do you know that that's really what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches us to be a people of good works. We're not saved by them, but we need to be people of good works. When there are needs, it's not enough to just say, well, let's pray about it. Over in Titus, it says, this is a faithful saying, I will do that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And I just want to encourage us this morning to maintain good works. Sometimes we have to reassess. You know, I believe we're good folks here this morning. I believe the saints are good people. But sometimes the scripture says in multiple places, we're not going to read them all this morning, but it says to encourage one another. Challenge one another to maintain those good works. And the Lord wants us to be challenged that when people say, well, I'd like to work for the Lord. Young people, you want to work for God? There is work for you to do this week. There is work. You don't have to have enough money to buy a plane ticket to fly somewhere. There are people in your sphere of influence that would be so happy to have you come and visit them. They would be so delighted to have you call them. They would be delighted. There might be a neighbor. There might be a co-worker. There might be someone at school that just to make them a loaf of bread for the sister. Maybe make them a loaf of bread. Make them a pie. Make them some cinnamon rolls and say, I was thinking about you and I want you to know I love you. And I'm going to show you my love. Have some cinnamon rolls. Do you know that means something to people? When people are in a hard time, the scripture says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto whom? Unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's where our good works start. It's good to minister to people that are not saved. It can show them the love of God, and you don't even have to say a word. You might say, I don't have the words to say. I don't know how to witness. Yes, actually, you do know how to witness by your good works, by the love that you show, by the time that we take, by the interest that we show in people. And folks, it should start at home. And by home, I mean, do good unto all men, but especially to those that are of the household of faith. There are people that are grieving. There are those that have lost loved ones. There are those that have been in a battle of affliction. There have been those that have been suffering for a long time. And sometimes after so much time elapses, you don't hear as much about it anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? I could mention some cases this morning that, you know, for a while there's a lot being said and everybody's under a real burden. And I know a lot of us are still under the burden, but sometimes things kind of settle in. Do you know what it might mean for those folks to get a card in the mail? What it might mean to get a text just to know that, you know what, people haven't forgotten us. Someone's still praying for me. Good works. James, in the book of James, in the second chapter, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but this chapter in James, chapter 2, Martin Luther got revelation from God through the Holy Scripture that the just shall live by what? By faith. And in other words, all of the works that they were doing, he was a Catholic, all of the works and all of the things they were doing, he got this epiphany from the Holy Spirit that these things don't save us. We're not saved by works. You know, that's a wonderful, that's where it's founded. We are not saved by works. And so his thinking was that James was a heretic. He didn't think James belonged. And again, the Bible, the King James Version, was obviously a little bit later. Or I'm not actually sure what year it was written. Okay, I was thinking it was about 100 years later, so that would have been right. It would have been 100 years later. But understand that at the time, he thought that James was a heretic. Because what did James emphasize? James was emphasizing works, wasn't he? But James was not a heretic. It was because all of a sudden Martin Luther got this light on something, and I find it happens even in today's society, or even amongst the saints sometimes. Someone that hasn't understood a doctrinal point, then all of a sudden the Lord opens their eyes, and it almost starts to be the exclusion of other things. It's like, I understand this. It's like, wait, there are other people that understood that too, but it's been balanced with all the other Scripture. It's interesting to see young people when they all of a sudden get hold of something. It's like, that's the most important thing in the Bible. Well, that's good. I'm glad for those epiphanies. And I think that's probably where Martin Luther was. He got this understanding that we're not saved by works. But let's see what James said. James chapter 2, verse 14. He said here, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works?" Can faith save him? Is that a fair question? If we say we have faith and we don't have works, can we be saved by faith alone? See, works takes in a lot of territory, all right? Works takes in a lot of territory. Because part of works would be acts of piety. Prayer, fasting, those are works. Modesty, that would be a work in a sense. But it also takes in just simple holiness. Works of holiness. Acts of holiness. Abstaining from that which defiles, that would be a work in a sense. But it also encompasses the actual physical labor and sacrifice that we give for other people. And we know that because that's what James himself said. That's what he used to illustrate his point. All right? So can faith save us? But before we go on, Ephesians chapter 2, and we won't dwell on it, but the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should" what? Boast. In other words, you know, like the Pharisee that went in and said, "I'm thankful I'm not as these other sinners, this other man, that I fast and I pray and I tithe," and good works. But good works don't save us. No amount of sacrifice can save us this morning. Young people, you can give and you can sacrifice, but there is no substitute for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We can never be good enough to earn salvation. It's by grace, through faith. It's believing in the atonement of Jesus Christ and that transforming work of God where I didn't deserve it, I didn't earn it, and I couldn't do it by myself. That was the work of God. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God, it's not going to be that, well, Lord, I cast out devils in thy name, and I did many mighty works. Jesus said this very thing. He said, they're going to say, we cast out devils and did many mighty works in thy name. And Jesus can say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because the blood had not been applied. Which means we can do good works without the blood, folks. We can do good works without the blood. And I've seen many a person that has fallen and used their good works as a security blanket to try to go into eternity. Folks, I don't want to face God on my own merits. I don't want to face Him. I need the blood of Jesus applied. But do you know that even here in Ephesians, that the scripture, it didn't stop there? He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. But verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by our works, but folks, we were created for good works. Do you know that? So this week, I want us to remember that we were created for good works. We were saved by the grace of God. But now God wants me to do something with that grace. He doesn't want me to sit on the couch and read my Bible all day. Now, how often have you young people heard someone tell you there's a time to put your Bible down? But that's not most people's problem, is it? I'm just spending so much time in the Word and in prayer, I just don't have time to do anything. I have yet to find someone that's their problem. I knew one man that was his problem. That wasn't his only problem, though. But the reality is that's not usually our problem, spending too much time in the Word. But there is a place in our worship to God that we were created for good works to minister to the needs of other people, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so James exemplified it this way. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I have faith. He was asking, if we have faith and not works, can faith save us? And you see someone, and they don't have food to eat, they don't have clothes, and you go and say, oh, brother, I'll pray for you. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever done that? And you pat them on the shoulder, I'll pray for you, and you walk away. I'm still hungry. Still don't have clothes. Still lonely. And you're praying for me. What good did that? That's not undermining the power of prayer. Please don't misunderstand. But what James, the very point he's making, he made it pretty strongly. He said, you think that's going to do you any good? It's exactly what he said. He said, you can say you have faith, but I'll tell you what. You can say you will pray for people all you want. We can say we have all this faith. But if all we do is say it, it's not going to do anybody else. It's not going to put food on the table. So he went on then to say, there is a whole nother aspect to this lesson that we're not going to deal with this morning, and that is responsible stewardship, okay? I've had people put me on a guilt trip with these scriptures. Well, I have a need. The Bible says you need to help me. It's like, well, I don't have within my power to help everybody. There's still going to be hunger in our world. We have limited resources, limited time, and the Lord wants us to be good stewards. So please, that's a whole nother lesson in dealing with those things. So you don't need to be put on a guilt trip either, because you can't minister to everybody, but you can minister to someone. We can help some people. And it's kind of like saying, I'll pray for you as I eat my cheeseburger, or in this case, my lettuce wrap. You know what I'm saying? You can say, I'll pray for you while I'm eating my food. And what good is that going to do someone? I mean, I could have given the bun. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There are things you could have done to sacrifice or to share or to share, but instead we fall back to spiritual lingo. And there are some cases that we can't help and we do need to pray for it. I had a request for some pretty major needs the last month of some saints in another country that are going hungry. And I had to say, I'm sorry. I can't help. And that hurts. They're facing lack of food again in Mozambique. I can't help. I'm sorry. So all I can do is pray. And then we better be sure we pray. We tell someone we're going to pray for them. It better not be an excuse to excuse ourselves from responsibility. So we can't help everybody. But there are some people that we can't help. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it's dead. Faith without works, it's dead. Being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You want to know if I love God or not? You want to know if who God's people are? Just watch and see who has good works. Now, we can have good works without the blood, okay? So we're not looking to salvation by works. But the reality is that if the blood has been applied to our life, we ought to be a people of good works. I'll show you my faith in God by my conduct. That's what James was saying. I'll show you my faith by the things that I do, by my actions. The devils believe, and you can read on in that passage in James. It's like we say, well, we have faith in God. Do you know the devils believe in God? The devils have faith to the extent that they believe in God. I mean, they tremble too at His name. So it's not enough to say, well, I confess Christ or I believe in Him. Yes, the devils believe that He is the Son of God. Not enough to change. Not enough to follow Him. But in our life, a life without works is a life without faith. That's really what it comes down to. A life without works is a life without faith. If we believe and we are a people of faith, so we should be a people of good works. And it is because so many people emphasize faith. Because we are saved by grace. It's not of ourself. And so this is the danger that James was addressing. He wasn't taking away from the point that we're saved by faith and grace. You can read other things he said, and he's talking about turning away from ungodliness and all these things. But he was giving the counterpoint of saying, okay, this is right, saints. Yes, we're saved by grace. But remember, if we really have faith in God, we're going to have good works to back it up. And so I find that this warning is still relevant in our society today. The Christian world can have faith and believe in Christ, but if it does not bring forth not only the good works of a cup of cold water, but the good works of holiness, the good works of love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and long-suffering, those also are works. It's not enough to have faith. It better be a faith that's strong enough that motivates us to action. And so, the wonderful doctrine of justification of faith has been abused. And that's why I believe James was pointing out that true faith is a faith of action. Y'all remember Dave Thomas? Does anybody know who Dave Thomas was? I think it's Thomas, yeah. He was the one that started Wendy's. Now you know that, Dave, that started Wendy's. His grandmother taught him in his writings to be a roll-up-your-sleeves Christian. You know what it means when someone says roll up your sleeves? They're not saying literally roll your sleeves up. But what it means is get off the couch and get busy. Roll up your sleeves. Have you ever seen someone doing dishes just trying not to get their hands wet? And just trying to, it's like just put it all in and get the job done. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to do it with all thy might. And they taught, his grandmother taught him that to be a roll up your sleeves Christian. Dave, they said, the man that started Wendy's, by the time he died, there were over 1,000 Wendy's. And they said that he was someone, he was down to earth, and he was someone that believed in hard work, values. Get in there and get the job done. Folks, as Christians, that's how we ought to be. Get it. Don't be lazy, but let's be a people of good works. If there's a need, let's get in and get it done. And I would say that it is a little bit of a reproach, and I'm maybe having to tread gingerly here now. But I think it's a reproach when there's a need among the body of Christ that we could meet if we wanted. We could meet, and we don't because we're not rolling up our sleeves. I think that's a little reproachful. Because it says that we're not really into this. If we're not interested in something, let's not start it. But if this is what we're going to do, then let's do it. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's pull out our pocketbook. Let's say I can deny myself this so I can give a little bit more money here. So if it's not important to us, and I would say, and I wasn't going to, this is just in light of our conversation and prayer requests, I would say nationally and locally, when there are needs in the congregation or the body of Christ, if we're not going to do something, that's fine. But if we're going to do it, and we agree to do it, then let's roll up our sleeves and let's get it done. For things to be prolonged, sometimes things take a long time. And that's all right if we're doing what we can. That's all right. But if we could do more, but it's just through slothfulness or laziness, then that's not a real good testimony. I hope the dining hall pad is not there for the next 5 years. You know what I'm saying? If that's what we're going to do, then let's not only pray, but let's be moved to do what we can. So now, I'm going to live up to my preaching now, all right? Because I hadn't had necessarily plans. But you know what? It's brought it back to mind. It's like, okay, Michael, is there something you can do? Well, there's a little bit. It might not make a big difference, but you know what? If all of us put in our little bit, it will make a big difference. You know that? This really wasn't a call to get that dining hall done, but I'll tell you what, that's how things get done. Doesn't take very long. So the Lord wants us to be motivated. But it goes way beyond that. It's in our daily lives. Be a roll up your sleeves Christian. Get in there, do the work that God has for us. And you know, we're not going to take the time to read it because this is a reminder. But do you remember in Matthew 25, the judgment scene? And I think that makes some people very uncomfortable because we're saved by the blood of Jesus, by faith. But remember, Jesus again was just giving a balance. See, there's the book of life. But do you remember there are some other books up in heaven? What were they? It's the book of works. It wasn't just your faith now. This is what you did. And there was a book being kept of what we did and didn't do. So at the judgment scene in the Matthew 25, we read about Jesus, the people being separated. And he judged them based on what? Their works. We say, yeah, this is what Jesus said. If we don't like it or it makes us uncomfortable, take it up with the Lord. I'm just telling you what he said. But we don't take it out of context. See, that's where people get in trouble. They take that as their salvation. That's not our salvation. But it's pretty important because I have unfortunately heard people stress, this is the real gospel work. We'll tell them about salvation. Well, yeah, but it is real gospel work to feed the hungry. That's real gospel work. It's real gospel work to help the orphans. It's real gospel work to visit someone that's sick. It's to take your neighbor, to stop by and speak to your neighbor and help them close their fence, help them get their cows in. I don't know. Whatever it takes, that's neighborly. That's showing them it's more than, well, I'll wait when I go to church on Sunday, but that's someone I know I can call on if they need help and they'll be pleasant about it. That's someone I can see they're full of good works. And Jesus said, he told them, he said, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you. He said, I was hungry, and he said, you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me, and I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink, and I was in prison, and you came, and you visited me. And the saints they looked at me and said, Lord, when did we do that? I mean, I never physically did this. And Jesus told them, he said, for as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus, and then we get in this discussion, well, was it deserving? I think we've had that discussion here before. Why were they in jail? Now, what exactly did they do? Is that the point? It wasn't just those that were falsely accused. You say, well, they don't really deserve it. I mean, they did it. Well, maybe they did, but how are they going to ever see the love of God? Yeah, they don't deserve it, but did we deserve it? Did we deserve the grace of God? No, that's the essence of grace. We didn't deserve it. And so are we willing to feed the hungry that don't deserve it? Been asked the question, are we enabling orphans to feed them? Are you enabling them? Let's think that one through a little bit. What are we enabling? Are we enabling our children, parents, to make them go hungry and don't put food on the table? That kind of hurts, doesn't it? Jesus said, as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brother. So next time, this week, let's be a people of good works. I believe everyone is. I'm not throwing stones at all. But I was just challenged once again. It's like, you know what? This is what the Lord wants us to remember with all of our faith, with all of our doctrines, with all the things the Bible teaches. Don't forget the importance of serving one another, especially them that are of the household of faith. And as you reach out to someone else, I want you to know you're doing that to Jesus. It's like, I really don't want to take an hour and go visit them. Have y'all ever thought that? Because if I go plan 30 minutes, I know it's going to be an hour. And I just, well, we can't do that all the time. But I want you to remember, we're doing this for the Lord. We're reaching out. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So if we want to work for God, young people, if you want to work for God, do some good works. That's work for God. I remember work for God I did in a tribe in Pakistan that I couldn't communicate with them. But you know what my work for God was? I've shared it with you before. But it was sitting down in their house and letting them give me tea and cookies, and I actually ate it. Because other people looked at these folks like they were just dogs. The women would be abused if they left the compound. Police don't care. Do whatever you want with them. They were seen as subhuman. And to have someone come in and just accept what they gave. To me, it was like, Lord, I might not be able to communicate with them, but I can eat the cookie they put in front of me, and I can drink their tea, and I'm not going to worry about what's in the cup or what kind of tea it was. So I'm going to eat what was set before me, and Lord, I'm going to do this as unto you. So sometimes the point I'm making there is, it's not always the big things. It's just the little things that we do to show interest in people. And those, that is the work of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may do what? See your good works. Not to lift you up, but that they might glorify the Father, that they can say you're different. Why is that? And then there might come a time that because of your good works, you can verbally share with them that hope that you have. This is what it means to be a Christian, folks. Let's not love in word. There's no stopping place with the scriptures. Let's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So let's be careful to maintain good works. And the Lord will bless us as we do that as unto Him.